News, sports, weather from Dr. Bill Williams, traffic info from Kane, and one of the Gulf Coast's most familiar voices. It's Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Arwig.
Morning from Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5 at 8.06. And another traffic reminder for you.
Yeah, just to let you know, Highway 59 at the Foley Beach Express in Summerdale there, shut down. One texter said some utility work going on. And another, I guess this is an update from, I don't know, is this ALDOT, Leanna? One of the agencies says, intersection of Highway 59 and Foley Beach Express is closed. Please avoid the area if at all possible. The intersection is expected to be closed for another hour. We will update you when it opens. And I think that message came down sometime around 7:30. So maybe by 8:30, that'll be open and running again. But, you know, fortunately, at this point, not a whole lot of people driving south to the beach. Not many out-of-towners headed that way, but still causing some issues for those on their usual weekday run to work or school or wherever you may be headed.
Okay. 7 after 8 o'clock, maybe inside this hour, we'll get to a story about dissatisfaction with Gen Zers. I think that that was a story either this morning or yesterday morning on This Morning with Gordon Deal. Mm-hmm. I'm seeing more and more of these stories about Gen Zers not quite fitting into the workforce. Not to go picking on them, but there seems to be some dissatisfaction with some of them.
I would guess this is the same Gen Z that is probably not paying their student loans in a boycott move.
You know, that is that could be the Gen Zers right there. I don't know, but that's you're going to ruin your credit, or at least damage your credit. You're going to want to buy a sofa somewhere along the line. Mm-hmm. Even if you're a deadbeat, you got to buy a couch because a couch fits your lifestyle. So you're going to try to go to the lazy person store and mm-hmm. buy that, and then you're going to have no credit and you can't buy it because you were protesting the government by not paying your student loan that you owe.
So anyway. I really thought that with student loan repayments beginning again, for us, for you, for a lot of people out there, that it would really take a bite out of the economy and consumer spending. Because, I mean, just think, how long did they go without?
3 years.
3 years. Mm-hmm. And the smart people, which was not me, unfortunately, were paying that down while there was no interest and while payment was not completely, you know, necessary, and a lot of those people got completely out of the debt during those 3 years. But there's no doubt that it contributed to the economy being better off than it would have been. I mean, just think. I don't know. I know how much we're paying monthly for these student loans. I don't know what the average is for folks who are out there.
But I think I saw an average, and it was, I don't know if it was $250 or $300 or something. I know ours was larger way back, and then we refinanced it through Mohila, one of the services that
consolidates the loan.
Right. So that's who the loan is with right now. But I'm not, you know, I'm not protesting Uncle Sam. I'm paying the note monthly.
But to be honest with you, and you can call me a Gen Zer if you want, which I'm not. I'm an awesome millennial. But my thought during COVID was, probably like so many people, it's like, why, if they're going to shut it down now, student loan payments, and it looked to me to be likely that Biden would find a way to completely absolve those with student loans, my thought process was, why pay it if we don't have to pay it right now? And there's a potential that
you won't
it goes
have to pay
away.
It at all. Yeah.
Then how silly will I look if we dump another, you know, 10, 20 grand in to try to pay these loans off, and then it's all stricken from the record?
Yeah, that was my thinking exactly. You know, it wasn't like I was trying to get away with anything. Mm-hmm. It was just like they were suspended. And you might remember, too, Dalton, it was suspended, and then they kicked it down the
Down the road. Yeah,
yeah, it was about to come up, and they would give it another 6 months or so. So I wouldn't say I was holding out hope that, you know, I mean, it's my loan, I'll pay it off. But I didn't see any, whatever the consequences were going to be, were they going to reduce it in some way, was going to go from this to this much less? Mm-hmm. You know, I that's the way I looked at it. And as it turns out, I'm going to have to pay every stinking dime.
Yeah, and I'm in a weird spot, and I think you are too, because I agree with everyone out there who has paid off their student loans, mm-hmm. who were working two or three jobs to get that done. I believe if you get a student loan or any loan, you should pay it back or face the consequences. But as someone who is holding student loans, I'd be lying if I said there wasn't a part of me that went, hey, they might go ahead and strike. And I know it would be bad overall for the economy, but for Dalton's economy, wouldn't be the worst thing.
No.
So,
I'll admit that. I was hoping something would be done where I was given some relief, either 100% or whatever. It didn't happen. Okay, pay up. Now, the people who are protesting, that is just a silly notion to me.
I still think that this is going to be a bigger hit on the economy than they're letting on with consumer spending. Because if you are taking that $250 or $500 that you're spending on student loans a month, and you're not spending it on the student loans, you're able to buy groceries or video games or whatever, then that's, I guess, better for the economy. But we still haven't seen that yet in the statistics that they've been releasing monthly with those stats. And maybe it's because so many aren't paying them back. I just don't understand. And maybe it's because somehow in my years here, I've never been to Spot of Tea on Dauphin Street. Mm-hmm. Like, I've known it's there, but I didn't realize the drama that was going on until these last couple of weeks. Landnap's reporting on this, and I think we have an update from Spot of Tea about 12 hours ago on Facebook. For those of you that are maybe more in the know, would love to hear from you on the phone line, 251-343-0106, or text us what you know. So Landnap reports the downtown Mobile restaurant has officially closed its doors days after it was forced to shut down, and the owner complained about being unfairly targeted by the Mobile County Health Department. Mm. Tony Moore, who is the owner of Spot of Tea on Dauphin Street, accused the health department of extortion, blackmail, and selective enforcement, among other issues. And Moore spoke with Landnap. And then last night on the restaurant's Facebook page, they did confirm the closing. Moore said that the Mobile County Health Department forced him to close the restaurant on January 11th. And that cost him about $15,000. He said he had asked multiple times to be reinspected, but that the health department did not honor his requests. He said the restaurant was also closed briefly on the 5th of January. Quote, and this is from a letter that Moore wrote to the health department board. He said, quote, about $15,000 worth of parties have canceled. That includes baby showers, bridal showers, and Mardi Gras gatherings booked months in advance with guests coming into town from other states. The hosts and guests are really upset with me. They asked for refunds of their deposits. Some were paid in advance, and I've got to refund them in full. Yeah, imagine. Mardi Gras is here, or it's right around the corner.
Mardi Gras would be a Spot of Tea right in the middle of it.
The restaurant Facebook page indicated the building and the equipment is now for sale. The health department has responded and wrote that the organization does not comment on open investigations or inspections. The statement said the health department is responsible to review and issue health permits to businesses in any municipality or city located or operating in Mobile County that requires a health permit based on state or county laws. MCHD will inspect health permitted businesses to ensure that the businesses are meeting sanitary conditions to prevent the spread of any bacterial or viral diseases. Among a long list of complaints that Moore discussed in this interview with Landnap, he said that the MCHD refused to issue the restaurant a health department permit despite paying for it in August. He said they gave different reasons for the denial each time that he asked. His other accusations against the health department range from inspectors asking for free food to one forcing him to hire a relative. He said he was threatened with being forced to close if he didn't comply with their requests. And I know a lot of you out there are probably big fans of Spot of Tea, and maybe have more information about why the MCHD forced them to shut down on the 11th and I guess earlier on the 5th. But this seems to be a big deal. I mean, all over my Facebook page, I'm seeing people who that's kind of their go-to spot sometimes for Mardi Gras, whether it's like the next day after a ball or something. But
very popular on Sunday mornings. Remember, it was a year ago, or was it two, that Spot of Tea made news because of something went viral that the manager handed to each of the employees. And it was something to the effect, I can't quite make out exactly what's what it's all about here, but I do see that part of the paragraph begins with, "You are the worst staff I've ever had."
Really?
Yeah, and so it had to do with employees being disgruntled by management, work and pay and just the overall attitude of management, I guess, to the employees. That was one of those things that ended up on Reddit and kind of went viral a year or two ago.
Well, I guess with the reason for the shutdown, and WKRG has a little bit more on this as well, Tony Moore said that the ADPH notified him December 27th that his business would be inspected. And the ADPH says the purpose of the closing is, quote, failure to make corrections for a score below 75 within 48 hours. So I guess that first inspection, they got below a 75, said an official with the department showed up at the restaurant on Friday, December 29th. Moore said that he received a handful of items to complete before the department would return on January 5th. And according to the health department website, the establishment was closed on that day. The website notes how difficult it is to reopen an establishment. It says, in most instances, conditions are corrected and the establishment can reopen within a few hours, but that is clearly not what happened with Spot of Tea. On January 7th, Moore sent a document to the health department noting the 31 items that needed to be fixed in order to reopen the restaurant. That's a pretty hefty list. I don't know what it entailed, but if the ADPH comes in and says you've got 31 things that are wrong here and you need to get it fixed up before. So I have no clue. I have no dog in this fight. I don't know if Spot of Tea just had all these health infractions and that was the real reasoning, or if what Tony Moore is saying is accurate and that he's been blackmailed.
Targeted, yeah. So you were in the restaurant business, your family was. What were those inspections like? Do you remember?
Well, there's different kinds of inspections. And then,
you guys own some McDonald's.
Right. My parents did a couple in Clark County and one in Monroeville, which no longer. But you would have inspections from the health department, but also from, if you're a franchise owner, not just McDonald's, but you have corporate inspections too. And sometimes they're surprise inspections. Sometimes you know they're coming. But it's a big dang deal regardless, especially for the business owners. Once they hear that there's an inspection going on, they usually make their way over as fast as possible to try to make sure everything's going smoothly. But it's just generally what you would want if you were a customer to know that you're eating at a safe, clean place.
Yeah.
For the most part, you know, keeping cleaning supplies away from the food.
But keeping cleaning supplies.
But having cleaning supplies there, yeah. Making sure it's not a work environment where employees can be injured because of things that are going on in the back. And then, of course, you have want to make sure there's no pests or any other kind of rodents or animals around.
I've got this copy of the letter now. Leanna printed it out and handed me. We'll look it over during the break, and we'll break it down and move on to other stories. But pretty interesting stuff right here. This was, again, Spot of Tea in the news back in March of 2022 for a letter that was handed to employees. This is part of it right here. 819, Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5 on Mobile Mornings. Spot of Tea. When they end up in the news, it's for the wrong reasons. Former Spot of Tea manager and server says owner is withholding tip money. That was a story from April of 2022. A letter from the manager or owner, and I don't know who, that I handed to you. Mm-hmm. If I worked somewhere and I was handed that letter, I'd be like, well, I don't need to work here anymore.
Yeah.
It was very disparaging.
Well, you handed me the exact letter. What am I supposed to take from
You're
that?
You're supposed to walk out. But I handed you that letter as evidence to past problems at Spot of Tea, but he handed it to his employees, evidently, to really... Can you give a little bit of what's in that letter?
Yeah. So you said this came last year?
2022.
Okay. Well, 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Said, I've wasted enough time thinking you'll act like adults and do your job. I'm just summarizing here. I'll play by your rules since you wouldn't play by mine. Do what this says or walk out right now. Don't stand in my building sucking up my air conditioning on my time clock, expletive, whining, or even talking about this letter. Number one, this is a four-point bullet list here. Stick your loud mouth, cursing, gossiping mouth up your ass. That was wonderful. Be on time. Stick your second grade, my dog ate my homework excuses up your ass. I'm sensing a theme here. Also, it says clock in and clock out. Of course, I know the reason you repeatedly forget, because you're a thief. And then I can't even read the fourth one, but he's basically saying, be a man, not a little punk, blankety, blank, 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 blank. And then he It's almost like a novel where they have within chapters, sub-chapters, and headers. And this header under the four-point bullet point list there says, this staff needs an enema. So that's just a part of the letter. Now, this text earlier, and if some of these accusations from the spot of Tion are true, then that does point to possibly some problems with Mobile County Health Department. I don't know. This texter says, what is going on with the health department and spot of T? Please do a deep dive into this. If the accusations are true, Mobile is going the same direction as the Pritchard Water Board. I guess he's talking about with regulation and basically using your power with whatever entity with the city to blackmail people would be the indication there. Same texter says, murders continue. Mayor seems to be trying to shut Mardi Gras down. I don't think that's the case. This texter said, the list continues. Is it time for a change in leadership? I don't think Mayor Simpson had anything to do with the spot of tea situation going down here. And I don't think he's trying to end Mardi Gras.
No.
Can you imagine?
It's going to be a different Mardi Gras, obviously. You can call it mismanagement. You can call it just the way the cookie has crumbled. But there's not going to be any. Bienville Square is not going to be open because of the renovations there. And, of course, the parking is going to be a big problem. RV City is gone. Parking at the Civic Center is going to be very limited. So, yeah, it's going to be. It's not, you know, not trying to shut it down, but these circumstances are what they are.
I go with the way the cookie crumbles. That's kind of my thought on this particular Mardi Gras season. Mm-hmm. You know, in a few years, we're going to have maybe a brand new renovated Civic Center with all the parking and parking garage spaces you want. And I think we'll move on just fine as a city. So this texter.
Growing pains.
Growing pains, exactly. Okay. This texter says, so when the health department closes a business for low score, what is his liability for trying to stay open and make half of the city of Mobile sick? Well, yeah, and I think the city probably also faces liability, and that's why they force you to shut it down if you're under a certain score and you don't make things right and try to fix the things that you failed on. This texter says, Spot of Tea was huge. People love Spot of Tea. Mostly people that don't know about all the issues they've had over the years. This isn't a new thing. They've been dealing with this type of thing for years.
I tell you, whenever I would go downtown, and I thought Spot of Tea was, I don't think it's open at night. I think it's only open
for breakfast and lunch.
Maybe. I think. But anyway, you know, you'd have the outdoor seating on both sides of Dolphin Street. You would have them not just outdoor seating kind of on their sidewalk, but across the street in Cathedral Square. And business always seemed to be going very well. Like if you're down there on a Saturday or Sunday morning. And it also was a pretty big restaurant inside, you know, when you
looks like they had a pretty wide storefront.
Yeah, wide storefront, and it was a big restaurant, so it was a lot to try and keep warm, keep cool. I'm sure it's one of the places that probably had some trouble staffing with you know, after COVID and everything like that, because the square footage, pretty big place, so it could have a lot of business at any given time, and I just would always notice that it was seemed to be doing well.
Mm-hmm. Well, somehow all these years, I just whistled right by it, never went inside, and I guess I have missed my chance. Also, we'll talk about this Gen Z thing a little bit later, but Mike texting in and says, I have a few Gen Zers that work for me. They are lazy and think they should be in management right after starting off. Regarding the student loan payments and like a quarter of people who owe student loans boycotting and not paying, Resmondo says they live with parents, which is probably pretty good guess there. Mm-hmm. But that would be, I guess, if you're not making money, that's one problem. But if you live with your parents, you're not having to pay a mortgage. You're not having to pay all kinds of things that people living on their own have to. So that's, to me, more of a reason to go ahead and pay those student loans off.
Yeah.
This texter says maybe some of these student loan protesters need to go to work so they can pay back their student loan. We paid back ours. Oh, this is GC texting. Said, hey, why won't the government pay off us people over 65 our mortgages? We have paid and paid on our mortgages and paid off our student loans. That's the thing. If they do away with all student loans, everyone else with a loan is going to say, hey, come on. Help us out a little bit here.
Yeah, what about me over here? 8:30 FM Talk 106.5 Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan, Dalton Orwig, and more of our conversation with you straight ahead.
8:34 on FM Talk 106.5 in Mobile Mornings. A lot to get to in the second half hour, last half hour of Mobile Mornings. Right now it's time to head to McConnell Automotive and talk with Louie Arata. Hey, Louie.
Hey, good morning, guys. How are you?
We're doing just fine. It's chilly outside. That's one thing. So there may be fewer people milling around the lot this morning at McConnell Automotive, but good news, there's a fantastic website where you can see all the vehicles, interior and exterior.
That's right. I mean, yeah, the first thing I was going to say this morning was McConnellAutomotive.com. You can look at all these beautiful cars and trucks and SUVs online in your home, in the comfort of your warm house or at work even. And just you see something you like, give us a call, 251-476-4141. We'll take care of anything, any answers. We'll send you a video of the car if you want a little more pictures of it. But we got some great deals going on. We got some low interest rates. So y'all come out, check that stuff out, like I said, online at McConnellAutomotive.com. And let's pray for some warmer weather.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's for sure. We appreciate your time, Louie.
Hey, thanks. Come see us.
Louie Arata. Go see him at McConnell Automotive on Dolphin Street, just east of I-65, and the website, McConnellAutomotive.com.
All right, let's talk a little bit about Gen Z here. Gen Z, by the way, defined as those born late 90s into early 2000s. One definition has it from 97 to 2012. Anyway, videos of Gen Zers and millennials, that's you, Dalton, complaining about the traditional 9-to-5 job have spread across social media platforms and sparked debates about how the younger generations, do they, you know, have the work ethic or do they lack work ethic? Some experts argue that Gen Zers aren't lazy for griping about the corporate job structure. It just means they have radically different priorities than the generations before them. Gen Z is not a lazy generation, but it's an entitled generation because they have the freedom to make a more broad set of decisions than older generations that have financial obligations. They're different. This is John Fries. He's a head of a global labor strategy for a consulting firm, and says the data shows younger adults aren't getting married and having kids, so they don't have the obligations. They don't do obligatory payments they would have to make because many Gen Zers don't have a mortgage. Maybe they live with their parents or a family to support. They have more financial freedom to make different life choices. Gen Z also wants their job to accommodate their lifestyle rather than the other way around. This leads to the younger generation being more likely to work in the gig economy or change jobs frequently. That's, for one, easily noticed, I think, rather than stay in a work environment that they don't like. So Gen Zers, and probably this is just exasperated by everything that went on with COVID, because if you're fairly new to the workforce anyway, to the idea of, okay, you get up, you go to your job, maybe it's 9-to-5, whatever, and then it was interrupted by that, then your growth into that job and your understanding of here's the way it is was stunted a little bit by COVID. I can't speak to this really when you think about it, because from the age of 21, I've been in radio. And so radio hours are not, it's not a 9-to-5 job. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's very different than that.
Sometimes it's 9 p.m. to 5 a.m.
Yeah, you know, right. And that's exactly right. Or sometimes it's 12 to 6 a.m., you know, to 6 in the morning. You're doing that job overnight. It's basically the work you do around your air gig and the work you put into it and then the on-air itself. Some, depending on where you are, things could be different than that. You have other obligations here. Beyond that, but for most of my life, I've had kind of a flexible, I won't say flexible schedule. It was a different schedule than others that were working every day. I would start earlier because once I got into morning radio, my life became pretty simple in that I got up very early, but I was generally done pretty early too, maybe by noon or so.
But also it's a performance-based job, right? And cutthroat competition in radio, you know, just like so many jobs. You know, there's perks that come with having a job where you can be out on your butt the next morning, right?
Yeah.
It's like some people are looking for the security of a job where you're never going to get fired, but they also want to set their own hours, and it just doesn't work that way, right?
Right.
And also, you know, I think this is another one of those things, like, the Beatles are ruining music, or the Beatles are... Every generation kind of has their thing that the older generation say, they're never going to make it. You know, Generation X, it was probably the rock music and the TV. Mm-hmm. It's ruining kids these days.
Yeah.
Millennials, we had our video games, right? Generation Z, now that's interesting because, like you said, so Generation Z is 1997 to 2012. So if you're on the older end of that spectrum, you still had a good, 8 to 10 years before the internet became the internet, right?
Sure.
Probably 06, 07 before we started really seeing, like, whoa, social media is a completely different animal than anything we've ever dealt with before.
True.
But those 8 to 10 years, if you were born in 1997, were crucial for your development. And so I would say those who are older Generation Z, like born in 2010, and also Generation Alpha, which is the one after Z.
Like your kids.
My kids are Generation Alpha, 2013 to 2022.
They haven't come to any conclusions about them yet because they're all
too little.
10 years old.
I think you could call them Generation Algorithm because so many kids, I guess I could call them kids if they're born 2010 or after, were raised by Facebook, raised by Twitter, raised by TikTok, and hopefully parents had a little more control than that, but I think we all know well that there are just a lot of kids who their head is in that iPad or whatever for every single day of every single hour. So maybe I'm just
I first noticed that with friends.
Out to dinner or?
Doing something casual, but we might be doing business, but he's got his little girl with him. So as we're out having coffee and talking business, but he's got the little one with him, and she may be like 3 years old, and her face was in the pad, right?
Mm-hmm.
This was probably, so these examples might have been 10 years ago. These kids are now 13, and they seem well-adjusted.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's just a
well, it's a
something
shift.
I remember.
It's also a shift in who your heroes are, right? Growing up, for me, it was sports, always. Mm-hmm. I always wanted to be a great tight end or receiver or whatever. That's all I thought about, right? And then radio a little later on. I think a pretty hefty percentage of kids these days want to grow up to be influencers. They want to like have their own YouTube feed and where they've got millions of viewers, which, I mean, I can't say I would be any different if I grew up on the same thing.
It feels a little bit like cutting in line, right? Like if I wanted to get into radio, but it's not cutting in line because people can do it. People do it. So it's not, it might be kind of a dream, but the doors have been kind of kicked wide open by the opportunity to have your own podcast, do your own thing, be an influencer and all that. It feels a little cheap, like you're cutting in line or you're not really doing the work or getting the education before you launch yourself into that. But the fact is people are doing it and doing it successfully. And for me, way back in the Stone Age, you know, it was going to school and it was getting into radio. If you could find a job that would have it, it was having the nerve to not throw up on yourself the first time you're on the air. You know, I mean, you're on the air, you're on the radio. You're not the same person that walked in the door. Now you're actually performing for other people. And that was the first hurdle you had to get over. But it was almost like not breaking into, but you had to get into the castle first.
Yeah.
You had to get your pass. You had to get your license. You had to do all those things. And then that was just the beginning. Then you carve out your career from there. And I haven't had many hiccups in the career. It's not been a brilliant career by any means, but it's been a steady career and it's had its morsels of success, I guess you would say. But this generation doesn't think that way because, in fact, they don't have to think that way.
Yeah, it's not about the grind for them.
No.
But I would say, you know, they'll snap out of it. There's going to be things that Generation Z is much better at than Millennials or X or baby boomers, and there's just going to be things that they're not as good at, like probably fixing things around the house when they break down, which is good news for those who know how to fix things around the house when they break down.
You don't want to do it for free. You want to get paid, get paid to do it.
But I will say my worry is a whole generation raised by the online algorithm. And you're probably going to have, and we're already seeing it in a lot of Generation Zers, far fewer moderates politically. And I think a lot of that is because of what's being consumed online. You know, like everything that I grew up politically was handed down from family. Probably like pretty much everyone that came prior to Generation Z. You hear what your parents have to say. And for the most part, I think most people are moderate. They're not extremely far right or extremely far left. But that's not the case when you're consuming everything online. And I think we're going to have a lot of the newer generations that are either completely diehard communists mm-hmm. and then others that are as far right wing as it gets.
And you had the story earlier about people growing up in larger families, even though it seemed to be flawed because it was from America and China, that we had more mental health issues, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I say we because I came from a big family.
Yeah, people in larger families have more mental health problems, is what that study said.
But I would say that I was very influenced by my older brothers and even sister growing up because you already had a panel of people in your life that you were watching. They were navigating a different age and a different stage of your life than you were in, but they're already doing it. Mm-hmm. So if you pay attention just a little bit, you're getting some cues. And there are probably people who are like you in many ways, which I would say the Brennans were different, but there's a commonality as well. So, I think it was a good thing to grow up in that kind of family because you knew what to expect. You knew what was going to be expected of you. And even if you walked into things somewhat blindly into adulthood, you still had things you could fall back on that mm-hmm. you remember your brother went through. Or you could just pick up the phone and say, hey, man, what about this?
Yeah, and a lot of these newer generations, you know, smaller families, a lot more single children or whatever you call it, only children.
The attention put on the child all the time where that was. If my dad came to a game that I played in, it would have been a miracle.
Now, really?
You have all these kids. He's got a job. You're out there. He looked at it like that's your world. I mean, from the fifth grade on, if I had a beef with my coach or if I didn't, and I would never go to my dad and say, hey, you know, straighten this out for me.
Yeah.
He would laugh in my face like that's your world. Mm-hmm. Figure it out.
Well, I think, and I doubt there was much of a culture of victimhood in the Brennan family.
There was
which
no.
I think is pervasive these days.
There was never any. It didn't happen, and it started at the top.
Yeah. They call social pressure, which is sometimes just your friends telling you to take a bath. You know, that's you become the victim when someone says, hey, Stinky, what's going on? It's actually for your
benefit.
To make you better. Yeah. If a friend tells you you're kind of stinky or something like that. Let's do a speed run through some of these texts before we talk with Jeff Poor here in the next segment.
I'd like to see what they're saying.
Martin says, I paid back my student loans, at times literally digging ditches the old-fashioned way. These kids today are no better. I'm 71, though. Fire Dog says, this is the phone and participation trophy generation. I have a friend who is a manager at a local retailer. They expect to make $60,000 a year out of high school. This texter commenting on the weather. Let's see if I can read this. Hey, guys, you know it's cold when you see a dog stuck to a fire hydrant. Also, what happened to Lance Pry from USA Radio News? It's another deep dive we'll have to go into.
Friday maybe we'll talk about that.
We'll get into Lance no longer being with USA Radio News. It's nothing that Lance did.
No.
But we'll break that down for you.
Something done to Lance.
Lauren says, completely agree with the comment about Gen Zs that they think they deserve management after about 5 minutes of working. The Gen Zers we have that work with us are absolutely incorrigible. Cannot possibly arrive on time, which she puts as 8 a.m., zero work ethic, and feel so entitled that after about 90 days, they should be fast-tracked to management, but they can't even arrive on time. I was managing 4 female Gen Zers, and I'm what my kids call an elder millennial. said I couldn't do it. I couldn't handle it, so I had to beg to not be their manager any longer.
Wow.
They were absolutely out of control, entitled. They often told me that they value time over money, which I wouldn't say that's always the worst thing, but you could see how that could be a problem with a lot of people. And said I couldn't even offer them double pay to come in on Saturdays to work from 9 to 4. They would rather be off work than actually make money. Michael says, this is about the shooting in Pritchard. Does it surprise anyone that the 9-year-old who was shot, that their mom is uncooperative? It's disappointing, but not a surprise, since she already raised one thug and seems to be working on the next kid now. It's just sad. It's just sad. That same 9-year-old had been shot twice in the last year. I'm totally with the sheriff's office getting DHR involved in that. And Dink wants to know, what influenced you to go into radio? Do you have enough time for that?
Yeah, real quick. You know, I had access to it, and it was something that was in my life every day. So there's the radio. There's WABC New York. There's this station out of Philadelphia. Whatever. There was the local stations. It just seemed like something. I didn't have a whole lot of confidence in my abilities from A to Z. So I kind of focused in on that and thought, I think I can do that. It really came down to, I think I can do that. Mm-hmm. And I would hear it every day. TV was an accident. TV, being in TV, as you can certainly observe, was more of an accident. Just it came after the radio started.
See, and I got into radio because I wanted to be Don Imus. No, not really.
I just kind of fell into it. Yeah. It's 8:50. Going to talk to Jeff.
Yeah, Jeff Poor on the way as we preview the Jeff Poor Show and get his take on some of the recent political events coming up.
Jeff Poor Show on the way on FM Talk 106.5 at 8:53. And what do you know? He joins us now from the Fairhope Bureau, I guess. Jeff Poor, good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, always good to have you.
Yeah, and looking forward to your show today, Jeff. I know you have somebody who's in the running for AL1 on later in the show, but who else are you going to have on?
We got Paul DeMarco coming up. Interesting story here, term limits and Gary Palmer. He was the guy that Gary Palmer beat partially on a term limit pledge in 2014. We got him coming up. We'll talk about that and some other things, I suspect. And then Joey Clark, our Wednesday regular with, as you mentioned, Barry Moore, who's running in the 1st Congressional District for the Republican nod.
And I think you said there's a new AL1 poll out, and I know, honestly, I think it must have dropped here recently. I know nothing about it. Can you lay that out for us here?
So we put it out this morning at 1819 News, and I mean, it shows Barry Moore with a very, very small lead, like a 4-point lead over Jerry Carl in AL1, but it's within the margin of error. I think this is a tight race. I think it's in flux, though. Especially if Jerry Carl starts spending more money, he certainly has the resources to do so. But it's close, and there's no clear, like, definitive front runner. It's and we're close to that March 5th date. So I think a lot of people thought the conventional wisdom would suggest that Jerry Carl would be way, way out in front right now.
Yeah, I didn't know what to make of that. So what do you? How do you see it, and how much do you trust the poll itself?
I guess probably where the race is. I've seen a few other polls. It's early on. Believe it or not, polling showed Barry Moore up by a little bit bigger of a margin very early. I don't know how reliable these polls are, so it looks like it's tightening. The trend is certainly for Jerry right now. If you believe those early polls, it didn't really get much traction out there. So this is probably where the race is. I would just watch these last, really we'll watch the last 2 weeks going into that primary, who's up on television, and see how, and just watch and see how much this moves.
But Jerry Carl's time be best spent in Baldwin County or over where Barry Moore is from?
That's a tough question. I think he's got to figure out how to do both. The Baldwin County is make or break, but I mean, it's just the same question for Barry Moore. Does he need to defend his home turf against Jerry, or does he need to be playing in Baldwin County as well?
Well, you have, you know, Congressman Carl with the name recognition in Baldwin County, like you and Dan were referencing there, but this is such a heavy red Republican district, and with Barry Moore being in the House Freedom Caucus, I think that earns him major points, or at least it certainly does with quite a bit of our audience. I wonder if we'll see some of these House Freedom Caucus members come down and stump on Moore's behalf.
I don't know. It is interesting. Jim Jordan's coming down in a week or so. I would say this, just kind of watching it. Look at Baldwin County. It's not Mobile County. You can't apply a Mobile sort of trajectory there. What it is it's a little more transient. It's not as established. It's not as establishment, I would say. because it's not as, you know, people come live there for a few years and then they move, or they're relatively new to the area, so they haven't really become acclimated to the local politics or not as involved. So, like, what drives a lot of the decision making in the voting booth is Fox News and things like that. And there's just certain places around the state that reflect that. I think Baldwin County, Madison County, Shelby County, and that tends to favor whoever is the perceived to be more conservative candidate, which I think in this case is the perception, at least, is Barry Moore.
And quickly on the national scene, Vivek Ramaswamy began his new job yesterday, which is trying to convince Trump to make him his vice presidential nominee. If Jeff Poore is making that selection, if for some reason Trump says, hey, Jeff, why don't you go ahead and pick who my vice presidential nominee is? Who's going to get me the most votes in the general? Who are you going with, or who do you have it narrowed down to?
Female Midwestern, perhaps. I something that's a contrast is going to bring something different to the ticket that Trump doesn't have. Maybe it's a state, or maybe it's a demographic. So that's why I would strike Ramaswamy or Ron DeSantis off the list.
And what will the uproar be if he chooses Nikki Haley, as some reports have been saying?
Ask yourself, does that bring like a Quinn Hillier over to Trump? I don't think so.
Good question, and no real answer for sure. Jeff, thanks a bunch, and have a good show.
Thank you.
All right, Jeff Poore Show on the way in minutes. Don't forget Midday Mobile at noon. And tonight, the Auburn Tigers taking on Vanderbilt in Nashville. You can hear the call at 8 right here on FM Talk 106.5.